This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. My. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. At this time, our Sunday school class can be dismissed. Brother Woods made a very poignant observation today. He said, before too long, Brother Lawson, we keep up, the adults are going to have to go back to the Sunday school room, and the Sunday school is going to have to stay out here. I'm thankful for it. If I could get you to turn your attention to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we'll start with verse 1. Very, very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Hallelujah. I'd like to say it's my favorite, but they're all my favorite, so. John chapter 11 and verse 1. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. If you're not, say oh me. Okay, you need a minute? Okay. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was at Mary which anointeth the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Today I'm going to preach from this subject, this topic. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? If you're going to preach with me, shout amen. 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 You may be seated. I love this portion of Scripture, even though it just highlights how things don't happen in our timing. I'm going to say something here that you're probably not going to like, but I have to say it. We're talking about the glory of God, but the glory of God doesn't always show up when we think the glory of God should show up. Amen. Amen. We read in this text that Mary and Martha, they're sad. Lazarus has died. He's been wrapped up. He's been put in the tomb. They called Jesus and said, he's about to die and we need you here. We need you here. They're grieving because they see that Lazarus' death is imminent, but they know if Jesus will show up that everything's going to be all right. But now he's died and they're convinced that Jesus could have prevented it. Thank you, Sister Lawson. They are convinced that he could have prevented it. They're not happy with Jesus. They can't understand how or why that Jesus would delay when he knows that Lazarus is sick unto death. They are confused as to why the Lord did not show up when they thought he should have showed up. Let me ask you a question. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, how many of us have been angry at God because he did not show up when we thought he should have showed up? There was turmoil in our life, and we needed a touch from the Master, and he delayed. I don't like it. I hate it. You're going through things that don't make any sense, and you can't see how God could get glory out of it. Well, that's where his ways are above our ways. Amen. You're confused. You're bewildered. You're frustrated. It could be with a multitude of things. It could be with your finances. It could be with your marriage. It could be with your kids. It could be with the church. It could be with anything. And you just get to the point where you're ready to throw your hands in the air, be angry at the Lord, and just give up. I think one of the reasons we get so angry and agitated and sideways is we don't understand what the glory of God is. We don't understand how He works. Sometimes we forget how the Lord does things. Our human tendency is to think of the glory of God as glorious streams of radiant light bursting down on us, but we forget that there has to be situations in our life. Every one of us has those situations in our life. Amen. We think that the choir is going to sing hallelujah, and that's beautiful, but the problem is this. It's not usually the setting for the glory of God. You see, the setting for the glory of God is when somebody's died and it doesn't look like there's any help. The setting for the glory of God is when a marriage is broken and everybody's wrote it off and God steps in. The setting for the glory of God is when you're busted and disgusted and God makes a way. We have to understand that about the glory of God. It's kind of like the favor of God. We think that having the favor of God is this wonderful, beautiful thing, when in all actuality, it's anything but, because now the Lord can trust you to go through some things. Amen. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Why did Jesus require them to believe? Because it takes faith. That's why. There was nothing in their present conditions that spoke of glory. Let me tell you something. Sickness and disease do not glorify God. Let me clear that up. It's not the sickness and the disease that brings the glory. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He said to His disciples, we're going to go. He said, the sickness is not unto death. You have to believe that whatever you're going through is not unto death. I say this a lot, but it ain't always going to be like this. You already have to have it made up in your mind that it isn't always going to be like this. I'm not always going to be stuck here. I'm not always going to be broke. My marriage isn't always going to be broken. My kids ain't always going to be backslid. The church ain't always going to be empty. Can I tell you, when you start to believe some things, everything changes. What Jesus was saying is this sickness was not going to be the last word, even though it would lead to death. I need someone to hear this today. This sickness is not the last report. Where you're at today is not the last report. Look at your neighbor and tell them that this ain't it. The bad doctor's report that you got is not the last word. The notice of foreclosure is not the last word. An eviction notice is not the last word. The late payment on your car note is not the last word. Your busted transmission is not the last word. Your kids acting crazy is not the last word. It's a word, all right, but it's not the last word. It's a word that's going to come. It's a word that hurts us. It's a word that challenges us, but it's not the last word. It's just a word. It's just the current word. Jesus said this sickness or this present dilemma is not the last word. In fact, the Bible says this present tribulation is actually working for you. 2 Corinthians 4:12. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What it's saying is, this thing that you're going through, it's working for you. It may not be good to you, but it's good for you. In the end, it's going to work something out of you. Well, look, I'm going to tell you, the times where you were hurting and you didn't understand, God was working something into you. Those times that you had to struggle to make it, God was working something into you. And when we understand that, we understand that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. Can I tell you, we got to be called and we have to let it work together for our good. Look, can I tell you, there's some times that I get a little upset with God because I don't understand what He's doing. But I understand that even though I may not like it now, it's working something for me. Amen? But there's a condition. Somehow you got to look past the present pain. You have to look past the right now. You have to look past what you see right now. You have to look past the brokenness. You've got to look past these things. You have to see with the eye of faith the glory that has yet to be revealed. It's amazing to me how we can believe in heaven, but we can't believe for a financial blessing. It's amazing to me that we can believe that we're going to walk on streets of gold, but we can't trust God for an affliction in our body. I want you to hear me today. We have to see things differently. We have got to believe for things that are going to happen. Amen. Paul said, these tribulations and afflictions are bringing us to a weighty glory while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. I'm going to tell you, I don't see empty pews. I see thriving families. I see families growing up and changing the lineage of their family. I see things happening in the spirit. I see marriages put back together. I see lives prospering. I see a well-organized, well-functioning body of God is what I see today. That's exactly what Jesus was saying to Mary and Martha. He was saying, if you want to see the glory of God, you got to get your eyes fixed. You've got to believe this thing. You've got to believe. And look, we sing that song, I believe for it. You said, and I believe. You said, it is done. God, hey, look, I can tell you with a surety by the mouth of two or three witnesses that God sent this family to Shepherdsville to start a church. And while it isn't booming yet, the key word is yet. Because if he said it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to keep preaching it until it comes forth. And when it comes forth, I'm going to believe for some more. And that is the eyes of faith. And that's what we got to have to receive what God has for us. You're going to have to see right through the mountain. You're going to have x-ray vision of faith. Yeah, look, I'm going to tell you, so many times we allow our mountain to outweigh the miracle that Jesus has for us because we magnify it so much. If you look at something so close, like right now, if I hold my thumb up just like this, I can't see you. It's because I'm focusing too much on this, and it's the only thing I'm holding in front of my face. And when we get to that point where we can only see the negative that's going on, that is the problem, and we have to remove the things that are keeping us from seeing our miracle. We have to set them to the side and allow God to show us what's ahead. Amen. Then he said, but it's for the glory of God that the Son of God might be glorified. Notice one word, thereby. That one word, thereby, is all-encompassing. To you, thereby may be a sickness, or it may be financial, or it may be the loss of a loved one, or it might be a divorce. Whatever hurts you, whatever makes you cry, whatever makes you question life. Can I tell you, at some point in time, everybody questions life. Everybody questions their past. It's okay to question your past, but it's not okay to stay there because God has a plan for you. Believe you're going to see the glory of God, but you're still in the hallway. You just haven't made it to the door yet. You're going in the right direction. You just ain't made it there yet. It's okay to be in process. It's okay to be going forward as long as you're going forward. It's okay if you haven't arrived yet. Just don't stop. In fact, right now, you are in exactly the same place Mary and Martha were standing. They were hurt. They were disappointed. They didn't understand. Look, I'm going to tell you, it may be that you've had some promises that you haven't seen come to pass, but can I tell you, you are in good company. Mary and Martha felt the same way. They knew if Jesus showed up, Lazarus would live. I know when Jesus shows up that we are going to see revival. I understand that. But one of the hardest things in life is trying to make sense of the pain. Anybody ever ask God and ask yourself, why did this happen to me? Yeah, I did. I remember. I take you to the spot. I question God. remember it like it was yesterday. Why? Why did you let this happen? Why? If God's so good, why did he not stop this from happening? The truth is, there's some things in life that will never make sense until we reach the other side. There are some things that happen that will not be revealed to us until we reach heaven. Amen. And the really harder part about that is God doesn't give us the answers. He just says, trust me. That's hard sometimes. When you're in the middle of doubt, when you don't understand, when you're hurting, when it feels like your heart's been ripped out, when you feel like you're crying every day, it's hard to go on the words, trust me. But can I tell you, when you trust God, he's going to work it out. Remember this, when you can't trace his hand, you can trust him. When you can't track him, you can trust him. You can always trust the heart of God because you are his child and he's working things out for your good even when it hurts. Jesus didn't answer their questions. He just said, if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. And that's our word right now. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you believe, if you'll just believe God, he will work it out. But what are you supposed to believe? You're not asked to feel it. You're not asked to understand it. You're not even asked to like it. You're not asked to beloved it. You just are asked to believe. What are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe that God loves you. That seems very elementary, but in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering, you have to remember that the Lord loves you. That his love has never been cut off from you. He loves you. And he knows you're hurting. You're supposed to believe that he knows exactly what you're feeling. Have any of us looked into the eyes of our child and felt their pain whenever they were hurting? Now, if we, as humans, can do that, how much more does God? How much more does he know what you're going through? How much more does he feel your hurt? You're supposed to believe that there's a bigger picture than what you see. See, we are so stuck in the right now that we can't even begin to fathom tomorrow. We're trying to get through right now when Jesus is saying, hold on, because tomorrow's coming and you're going to see a different picture. If you'll take two steps back, you'll see what I'm doing in the grander scheme of things. That's what we're supposed to believe, that this is just one piece of a bigger picture. You're supposed to believe that something good will come out of this. When you got your foot worked on, it didn't feel good, did it? But something good came out of it. When I got my back worked on, it hurt like crazy. But something good came out of it. When you got messed up in your finances and things were all backwards, it hurt in the moment. But something good came out of it because you learned. What you have to understand, you have to believe something good is going to come out of this. What Mary and Martha needed to believe, what Jesus was telling them that they needed to believe, is that something good is going to come out of this. But Jesus, he's dead. He's been dead a few days. He's stinking. And all Jesus wanted them to do was believe. Some of us think that our situation is too far gone, that everything's too far gone, and it'll never come back to where it needs to be. You just need to believe. Quit trying to figure it out all on your own and just believe. Can I tell you, I'll be the first one to admit, the very thing I tried to figure out when I let it go, Jesus made it happen. And when we learn to let things go and let God do it and just believe him for it, that's when things change. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. What did Jesus ask them to believe? He asked them to believe the same thing that he asks us to believe right now, that he was the resurrection and the life at that very moment. When will we quit magnifying our problems to be greater than Jesus? When will we quit worrying and doubting and hurting because we don't understand? When? They had a past faith. How many of us have seen miracles? True miracles that nobody can take away from us. Nelson Brothers, I've seen some miracles that you would not believe. I saw a toddler get ran over by a car. The car sat on top of him. And the aunt didn't know which way to go. And when we finally got the car off of her, we rushed the baby to the hospital, and there was nothing wrong with him. A miracle. In Shelbyville, we've had people come and be healed of cancer. We saw babies. I saw a baby that had to have a blood transfusion. They didn't know how long he was without blood. Go home and puzzle the doctors. What can we believe for? We can't just believe about what happened yesterday. We've got to believe what's happening for tomorrow. Amen? Both Mary and Martha, they had faith in Jesus, but it was past tense. If you would have been here, you could have kept our brother from dying. But they also had a future faith. Amen. We know our brother will live again in the resurrection day, they said. But Jesus knew there's no healing in the past or future. You've got to have a right now faith. Hebrews tells us now faith. Do you have now faith? Have you exercised your now faith that says right now the Lord is going to do this? Right now God is going to send revival to my family. Right now God is going to send and restore my finances. Right now my God is going to bring my backslidden children home. Right now God will send revival to our church. Has anybody in this house got any right now faith? Because that is what is required. Jesus knew there's no healing in the past. Your miracle is now. The miracle that we need is now. When we believe like that, Jesus can move. I believe in being instant in season and out of season. Amen? With that being said, I want you to come up here and finish my sermon.
I'm just going to talk about what God's already told me today. Jesus. The biggest thing that stops us from getting in the way of God is ourselves. When we carry around stuff and things that we want from the world. I was telling Brother Lawson about the when the fire fell on Mount Carmel. And that's what God was teaching me this morning. And they saturated the altar with water in a drought, enough to fill the trench. And all of that, that was the hard part. But the barrels were only heavy while they were full. And when they walked up there with these heavy barrels of water and poured themselves out onto the altar, then they were light. That's the thing. It's hard to take the things that we want, the things that Daniel Nelson wants to do. They may not be a sin. They may be a distraction. But when we take those things and we go, God, I understand that if I want to do what you want me to do, then I've got to put it on the altar and say, this is what I'm doing. I'm here for a higher calling. And then I walk away with my empty barrel and I feel good. And that is how us apostolics have to be if we want these miracles in our church, if we want these things, if we want this fire to fall on our sacrifice. We cannot want things of the world. We have got to turn away and put it all on the altar and be a willing sacrifice to God. When I come to church, I come expecting. I came expecting today. I poured things out on the altar to God last night. Things that, like I said, they're not a sin. They're not wrong. But things that Paul would not have done. Things that the apostles would not have done. Because they're here for a purpose. We're here to bring the gospel to people that are lost in this world. We're here to heal people. It is not God's will that someone suffer sickness. I don't believe that it's God's will that I suffer. I'm here to serve God. And what you were saying, I was listening to a preacher last night that used the words persuaded. I am not persuaded. You're persuaded about Acts 2:38. We all can agree on that. But when it comes to prayer, to all these other things, why isn't it happening? If I believe the way to get to heaven is through baptism in the name of Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and to be repentant of my sins, then I must also believe that if I pray for something in the name of Jesus Christ, it will be healed. We have got to resist the devil. And I also believe that the more I resist the devil, the more he's going to flee. The Bible says if we draw nigh to God, then he will draw nigh to us. These are things that if you believe the things that you do, you must believe the rest. I get in my Jeep. I know it's going to start. It may not. But I know it's going to. I'm going to drive here. I put trust in things made by man. But God does everything. He has all the power. He has everything. We've got to pour ourselves out onto the altar of things that we like to do, the wants, the things, our individualism, all of that. It doesn't matter. All that died when we were baptized. You're born anew. You're born a new creature. The things that you liked, the things that you did, they're gone. You have a new purpose. On the altar, there was, I know you've heard, the horns of the altar. I didn't know I was going to be preaching this today. God created the whole world and us, but he gave us the ability to deny him. We're the only thing that was created that can tell God no. In the Old Testament, when they would bring their sacrifices to God, it was a willing sacrifice of the owner of the sacrifice. I own my body. God gave me that ability. I have free will. They would bring their animals to the altar, and if need be, they'd have to tie them to the horns. Based on archaeology stuff, it's what they believed they were. It was a way to secure this sacrifice. There was two men around Daniel's time. I cannot pronounce the first one. It's Adonijah and Joab. And Daniel died. They were trying to get them kings. And Solomon, Adonijah, ran to the temple and grabbed onto the horns of the altar and was just, he didn't want to die. He threw himself on the mercy of the altar before Solomon. Joab did the same thing. Our sacrifice, and when we turn ourselves over to the altar, we're not deciding the things that happen after that. We're just throwing ourselves on there. Solomon killed Joab. He let Adonijah live. Eventually, he ended up messing up and he killed him again. But the point is, they threw themselves on there. And they said, this is what we're going to do. We're giving ourselves over as mercy to the king. We don't think about the things after that. I don't care what God does with me. I don't care if I'm never anything more than just going to a church praising God. It does not matter. What matters is that I grab onto the horns of that altar and lay on that altar willingly holding onto the horns, not having someone tie my hands to this altar, willingly hold onto the altar and say, God, do what you want. You're going to kill me? Kill me? You're going to let me live? Let me live? I don't care. I'm holding on to this altar. It does not matter. It does not matter what God does with you. What matters is that you turn yourself over to God all the way. Am I closing this? In Judges, the Israelites were kind of just governed by their own ways. God raised up people that did some things, they'd die. Israel was pretty bad. Towards the end of Judges, there was an incident in a city. And all the rest of Israel is like, we can't have this. They all get together. This is a great story. If you don't know what I'm familiar with, I'll give you the scripture. They all get together. They go to the priests and they say, hey, what are we going to do about this? God says for them to go kill them. They go and they lose. They go back to the priest. What does God want us to do? What's going on? We need, priest says, go, you're supposed to go kill him. They go a second time, and they lose. They go back to the priest. They're crying, and they're praying, they're fasting. They God's sending them twice now to fail. The third time, guess what the priest says? God wants you to kill him. And then they went and they crushed them. They ended it. I don't know if God was teaching them a lesson. I know the lesson I get from that is the result of me following God doesn't matter. It's the act of me following God that matters. If God tells me to go somewhere and witness to someone, I don't care how many times. It doesn't matter if they never come to church. What matters is that I'm doing what God wants me to do. We have to keep going back to the altar. I feel I'm done, Brother Lawson. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
We need to get back to the altar. You see, whenever you get back to the altar, that's where you can believe again. When you lay everything on that altar. See, as you went into the temple, what you got to understand is the fire that burned at the candle of incense came from the altar fire. It came where you laid some things down. It came from where that you laid your sacrifice on the altar. Your sacrifice wasn't meant to be picked up from that altar again. It was laid there as a sacrifice unto God.